Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And good day, happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and it is the first day of March. If you're listening in the future, it probably won't be the first day of March, and this would obviously be the past, but in the days of internet, radio, and podcast, and listening on demand, I guess that's kind of an obvious thing for people at this point. Baseball season is right around the corner, and for fantasy sports, I kind of prefer baseball to football. Football's more of an exciting sport. It's immediate. It's easier to schedule. And it's tougher to find a little bit of advantages in the sport because it is covered so well and so intense that pretty much by the time a game is going, all the information about a game or players is pretty much out there. In baseball and basketball, a little different because there's games happening every day of the week, with the exception of kind of the last week or so during the NBA All-Star game. Spring training was open, but games hadn't started yet, and the NFL had shut down. And, you know, people are already talking about the spring league for football, which for serious football fans might be an option. More than likely, I doubt I'll watch more than, you know, one or two games of spring football. If I happen to catch them, great, but it's just not the time of the season for me. I'd rather watch a game in April and May between a couple mediocre baseball teams than a couple of truly mediocre football teams playing in that same time of year. You know, there's a bit of an arc. The season starts and I try to catch every little box score going because, you know, you've missed baseball for the entire winter and then, you know, you want to get caught up right away. And then, of course, come the dog days of summer where you may go a week or two and you go, hey, that team was just in first place. How come they're sinking in the standings? So the box scores and the daily rituals and rigmarole, so to speak, of baseball is something fun. And actually the first sport I really grew up on as a young kid was born in Southern California and was originally a fan of the California Angels. That's what they were called back then. They play their games in Anaheim. They were just named the California Angels, and I was born in Orange County and literally grew up for the first five and a half years of my life about 2 miles from the Big A in Anaheim. And my mom loved baseball herself as a person growing up and got me hooked on baseball on the radio. Family moved to Northern California, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to listen to Angel games anymore, right? And they're like, no, don't carry them up here. But, you know, here in the Bay Area, they got the Giants, and they got the A's, or the Athletics. I didn't even know what that stood for. I knew what a Giant was. That sounded pretty cool and intimidating. I go, I think I'm going to root for the Giants. I go, okay. And I checked the box score the next morning. I'm like, man, the Giants lost. I don't know if I'm going to be rooting for that team. What was the name of that other team, Mom? That was the A's, the Athletics. And I go, okay, I look in the paper. And they're playing the Angels that night. And I go, well, if the A's beat the Angels, that's going to be my new favorite team. So they did. They won that game 3-2. My mom even wrote down the final score and had it there on my nightstand for me to check out. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to be an A's fan. And she's like, all right, well, you know, if you're going to stick to a team, it's more fun to stick to a team. You can't be wishy-washy and going back and forth every time your team loses. So learn that lesson there. And I gave the Giants one whole game and then became an A's fan, which for me was very interesting. You know, the Giants were the more popular team in the Bay Area. They had, you know, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal, the Alou brothers, Orlando Cepeda. some great teams, and the A's were kind of this also-ran team wearing these weird gold and green uniforms. They had a quirky owner who was a penny pincher to the extreme. And, yeah, period. I was an Oakland A's fan. Get to about the first World Series, or they were about to go to the World Series, and, you know, it was the first day of the playoffs, and they're playing the Detroit Tigers. And I pretended to be sick, because, you know, to me, the playoffs, I thought it was like the Super Bowl. I didn't understand best of five and best of seven and, you know, what playoffs actually meant. I just knew, all right, it's the push to the World Series. And anyway, so I pretended I was sick, stayed home to catch that, I think it was a noon or 1 p.m., you know, West Coast time. The A's are playing the Tigers in Detroit. And there I am, sitting in the morning, you know, listening to the radio, the pregame show, have my baseball cards out, have my hat on, and here comes Mom with some chicken soup and a sandwich. She knocks on my door. It's that little black and white TV. Opens up, walks in, and there I am, an Oakland A's hat and the whole deal. And she goes, "You're not sick. You're playing hooky to watch the game." So she kind of laughed, gave me my lunch, and you know, said, "Okay, you can't play sick. Got to go to school tomorrow." And then it turned out that the joke was on me, since it was such a big deal. Many of the teachers at school had televisions or radios in the room, because of course they were much bigger baseball fans as adults than I was as a kid. So we watched games and listened to them in the Bay Area during those years. And the A's went on to do an amazing thing, winning three straight World Series. I've only seen one other team do that, as you have, since then. And that was the New York Yankees with Joe Torre, Derek Jeter, and, you know, that team. So I've only seen that twice, teams winning three in a row. The Chicago Bulls did it, you know, in the NBA, as did Phil Jackson again with the Lakers. So still a rare feat. It's never happened in the NFL, but, you know, people ask me still today when the Oakland A's can barely fill a stadium, and even back then when they were a great team, could barely fill the stadium, you know, why I'm an Oakland A's fan when, you know, having experience in the Bay Area, obviously the Giants are the cool team to follow, if you will, or have a bigger following, and they, you know, have a better stadium and have been more successful over the last 20 years. Not sure what's going to happen with the no longer staying in Oakland A's. Their ownership right now, kind of reminiscent of Charlie Finley, although they don't have a roster like they had back in those days of, you know, future superstar players. And when free agency became official in Major League Baseball, kind of a good thing, because up till that point, you know, players had no choice, no freedom to move around. And it'd be like, you know, if you were not allowed to, you know, work for another company for a better situation in your job. And, you know, that certainly changed a lot of things. As a fan, it's tough when some of your favorite players leave, but that is more of the reality of the game. And now it's, you know, it's become much more the norm. And finances and economics definitely drive what's happening on the real game and the real field. So today's show is titled "Next Year Is Here." You know, there's always that saying, wait till next year. You know, there can only be one champion team in each league each and every year. And a lot of other teams that, you know, definitely compete. And the saying always goes, oh, wait till next year. And some teams became famous for their fan base of saying, oh, wait till next year again. You know, here in Los Angeles, it's a little different. They got a team that spends money, actually pays extra money for the baseball luxury tax to go over the salary limit or the salary cap. And for some reason, the Dodgers have been a great regular season team and have essentially not done so well in the playoffs. I'll stop one step short of choking, but that's, you know, that's what fans like to call other teams' fan base, when your team doesn't succeed and they're obviously the team that's favored to win. So that's currently what's happening in Los Angeles. Although the Dodgers in the offseason, they went gung-ho. They signed the top free agent, anticipated free agent in the game. That is Shohei Ohtani, who is doing things that is comparable to Babe Ruth. Yeah, which is, you know, pretty amazing, because Babe Ruth is playing, you know, like 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago, was his heyday. And, you know, the numbers he put up are still some of the greatest batting numbers in the game. Otani, also a pitcher, although he's had some pitching injuries, don't know if he's going to continue to pitch. He's not pitching this year for the Dodgers. He'll be serving as a designated hitter, yeah, which is kind of a new wrinkle in the game, the fact that the National League even has the designated hitter, and the fact that interleague play is now pretty common. It used to be sort of a treat when, you know, one division would play, like the West would play the other West and the other division. Now everybody kind of plays everybody, and, you know, you get a chance to see almost every team come to your hometown. In certain markets like Los Angeles, where there are the Angels and the Dodgers, and obviously the Bay Area, Chicago, and New York, four markets that have two teams where you can go see National League or American League games, you know, you had an opportunity to go see the Yankees if that was your team when they came to town or what have you. Those East Coast teams, those games often sell out. There's a lot of East Coast transplants here on the West Coast, and those folks still love their teams. Nothing like going to your home stadium and seeing it overrun by Red Sox fans or something like that, you know, but that happens. So getting on to fantasy baseball, and I'm a big person in playing that, down to two teams. I suggest if you're a beginner in fantasy baseball, you stick to maybe one team. If you're a little more advanced, maybe two teams is something you might be able to handle. And I mentioned on past shows, I've played in leagues before, like 20, 30 years ago, where we were National League players only or American League players only. And those leagues are definitely more challenging because you can't use the other half of the league based on their league. But now with everything kind of crissing and crossing and interleague play being part of the game now, designated hitters being part of the game, you get a lot more opportunities to see that. And it's all kind of one big league. So we expanded our Dynasty League, which is kind of brand new last year. And it's a lot of the same individuals who I've been playing with for about, I think, heading into our sixth year. We have a keeper league that I have to turn in my keepers actually probably later today. I get to keep five on a team of 27, and we do a redraft after we go ahead and keep our up to five players from the team before. Last year I finished in third place, which was kind of where the wait till next year philosophy really worked out for me. Two seasons ago, my team, the Stone Sox, the Southside Stone Sox, I'm a big Flintstones fan. I think there was a cartoon where Fred and Barney went to the game, and the Stone Sox are playing against, you know, another team with a bedrock and stone motif of that cartoon was famous for. And I thought, that's got to be a name for a fantasy team. So the Stone Sox, I actually won the very first season of our league, even though it was on a tiebreaker. Hey, I still won. And I've kind of placed pretty well, but a couple seasons ago, you know, right after the COVID season, coming in after that, I had not paid attention to baseball or sports, because obviously with COVID-19 happening, there was a lot more going on to pay attention to other than balls and strikes and home runs and strikeouts and stuff like that. And it was weird because, you know, they had the truncated season, like 60 games, something like that. It is just really, it was kind of like sports really took a back seat, which, you know, some people probably think they should be in the back seat, period. And that's fine if you think that way. But, you know, all the major sports fans were not allowed into games. So it was very interesting. A lot of players, you know, on the real field definitely say, hey, I get a kick out of the, you know, the fans either cheering us on, or sometimes if we're on the road and everyone boos me before I go up, it, you know, inspires me to do pretty well. So it really got down to much more pure playing and scouting than any of the cheering of the crowd, you know, for that season. Season afterwards, my team was in last place, and our guy who's a commissioner, his name's Sam, he offered me a trade, you know, for a couple of my best players. And again, I'm like, my team is doing so bad. What the heck? What have I got to lose? I'm already in last place. And after that trade, my team really turned around. I was able to pick up I traded one of my best relief pitchers and one of my best hitters, but got like five good players in return. And a couple of things about those players is that they came with a later round draft value. So in our league, you can keep players from year to year, but you, in the draft slot, there's 24, 25 rounds. I think it's 24. If you select a player in the first round and you keep him next year, you don't get a first round draft pick if you keep that particular player and you go off last year's value. And after a few years, it changes and it reevaluates. But I was able to make a number of trades and get a number of players to basically have in the last four or five rounds so that I entered the draft with four or five really good players on really good positions and have them in late draft rounds. So last year's draft, I was able to get some really good players at the top of the round, and I finished third place. Could have done a little bit better. Third place isn't bad considering the year before. After the trade, I was within a couple points of getting into the top eight, which would have qualified me for the playoffs. I thought that was pretty remarkable, and for me, a very rewarding season. I didn't win the championship. I did okay in the consolation rounds of playoffs. Even if you're on the bottom half, there's still a consolation tournament. But it was pretty remarkable to almost get into the actual playoffs considering I was so many games behind. But the philosophy of wait till next year, really came to fruition there, where I was able to, keep inexpensive younger players, have them at the end of the draft, and then draft, top talent to combine with the young talent that I had already kept. And that's a philosophy and a thing you do see in professional sports. And it's kind of cool that we were able to add that and sort of have a reasonable return on doing that. So many other owners in fantasy sports will, see that you're maybe in the last half of the standings, close to last place, and think, well, let me give you a couple cheap young players and take your best player. But there's really no return in keeping them to next year. This was a situation where that was something I was able to do. And then in our Dynasty League, which is we can keep more players, we have a fictitious salary cap. Last year, coming out of the spring training, there was the World Baseball Classic, and I had two really good players. They're foreign-born, one from Puerto Rico, one from Venezuela, pitcher Edwin Diaz of the New York Mets. I had signed him in the auction, and he unfortunately had a freak accident after Team Puerto Rico, I forget who they beat, but they're celebrating, dancing on the field, and as they're all close together and jumping up and down, Edwin Diaz came down, landed weird, and blew out his knee ligament, so he was out for the year. The good thing about that injury is he's a pitcher and it didn't affect his throwing, maybe affect his power and his motion, but not the arm. So that was a good sign. So I had to eat his salary. I wasn't going to release him and put him back into the pool. Any other player could have then picked him up for the league minimum of $1 as opposed to the $26 or $27 that I paid for him in the auction draft. And then Jose Altuve, who, unless you're a Houston Astros fan, most people don't like him because he was the center of the trash can banging cheating scandal of the Houston Astros a couple years ago. He got hit by a pitch on the wrist and broke his hand or wrist, one of the two, combination thereof, and was out for the first 3 or 4 months of last season. He was someone else I had paid good money for in the top of the draft and had to kind of wait for him to come back. So I had two really good high-priced players that were essentially non-effective last year. Altuve did play about half the year. But still, the chances of him getting hit by a pitcher, because a lot of teams like to just every now and then, throw at him just because of that whole Astros scandal from a couple years ago. He's a good player. Again, outside of Houston, most people in Major League Baseball are not fans of the Astros or him in particular because of his involvement in what did lead to an Astros championship. the trash can banging scandal, in which they would bang the trash can from the dugout once if it was a fastball, two if it was a curve, and you'd hear that and go, okay, I'm going to look for a curveball, and oh, what do you know, I hit that over the fence. How lucky am I? So he's a player that I'm keeping going into this year as well. And kind of the philosophy of wait till next year. That team last year, my team called Maury's Wigs, which is a character out of Goodfellas. If you know that movie, you probably know who I'm talking about. Anyway, that's the name of that team. I, you know, kind of had to struggle through the season last year. And while the struggle and duration of the season, I was able to find a lot of good quality players on the waiver wire and, you know, trade a couple players and cut some salary along the season to get into what should be a good position in our draft coming up in just a couple weeks, which I'm going to go ahead and talk about here in just a moment, because that will be coming up very shortly, and the league has already established our keepers who we're turning in and who are keeping for next season. So I'm going to get to that in a little bit, and I'm going to talk about my other team and the keepers I have to turn in as well. We might talk a little basketball. Basketball's going good for me this year as well. And we'll be right back. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm Jay Cruz. You're listening to HealthyLife.net Radio.
When my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices, and it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net as I'm talking about wait till next year. Next year is here. The season's about to start for Major League Baseball. And if you're following National Football League, you probably know that the NFL Scouting Combine is coming up. And, you know, the NFL and college football have become sport number 1 and 2 here in the United States. And the NFL has been very smart about kind of incorporating what baseball used to be very good at, and what it was called the Hot Stove League. Basically, Major League Baseball, when the season ended, they did a great job of, you know, extending baseball talk through the media to keep baseball fans kind of interested. You know, when the season comes to an end, it's a lot of people are like, ooh, thank goodness, baseball's over. I've been watching it and investing a lot of time. Let me get onto something else in my life. Maybe watch another sport or, you know, whatever it is. I happen to like a lot of sports, so I watch them all season long. Again, sometimes you pay attention, sometimes you pay less attention, but they are available. Some people are, I only like to watch my home team. I don't really care about the World Series if my team isn't playing in it. Personally, I like to watch the World Series and Super Bowl, NBA Championship, Stanley Cup, because you do have the best teams that are playing in the playoffs, and you get to see the highest quality of the sport and teams going at that point. And yeah, it's much more fun when maybe your favorite team is participating. It's also a lot more stressful if you're rooting for your favorite team to win and maybe they don't. That's certainly rewarding when they do. So that's a little bit of that. But the National Football League has really done a great job of incorporating the philosophy of Major League Baseball's hot stove league, you know, where MVP of the league would be announced and then free agent signings, all the managerial moves and things like that. NFL has done a great job of doing that and is now talking about the college draft, which it's either in March or April. I need to find that for sure. It's either in late March or early April every season. The new NFL season will be coming up just a couple weeks, where everything from, you know, last year is done and it's on to the 2024 season. You know, new contracts kick in, contracts that have been signed. You know, decisions are made on what happens with the contracts currently, and a lot of times good players on your favorite team get released because of the way their contract has been, you know, structured or restructured. And this upcoming season, they might be very expensive to that particular team. Maybe they're like, well, you know, we signed this person a couple years ago and they're on the decline. We can't afford to pay them more than what we've been paying, so we'll have to release them. That also goes into, you know, this person could be super expensive. They play a certain position that we think we can, you know, find someone in the draft to replace them and, you know, pay them a lot cheaper. So that's a lot of why our favorite players end up going from team to team based on those contracts. Now, we've actually, in our baseball league, have something like that, too, in the auction. You know, when get a player at a price. Let's use catcher Will Smith, not actor Will Smith, but catcher Will Smith of the Dodgers. Last year I got him in the auction for five fictitious dollars. Now every player that I keep and our league keeps this year, their contract goes up by $1 this year. Next year their contract will go up by $3 from the price here in season two. So Will Smith, as the example we're going with, got him for $5 last year. This year is going to cost me $6. Next year it'll be $9. The following season will be an additional $5, and then an additional $5 after that. So at some point, you know, you will sign a player, maybe a rookie, or get lucky and find a veteran that somebody mistakenly released. Last year I picked up Blake Snell, pitcher of the Padres, who was struggling, and then miraculously, I mean, I picked him up because I was desperate and had really no pitching and figured, you know, he's got to turn it around sometime. Well, he turned it around really quickly and became, you know, very good and got back to his original potential and performance expectations last season. But I signed him for $1 off the free agent wire, get to keep him for $2. And in, you know, real baseball, he has not signed with a team yet this season, but he's expected to shortly, and his agent is a guy by the name of Scott Boras, who is notoriously the most expensive agent he focuses on baseball. He might do clients in other sports, but he's essentially a baseball agent. And each and every year, he gets his players top dollar. Normally, and you know, he normally only represents the, you know, the top 5 or 10% in the league. And it's always guys coming up on their free agent's contract, and he gets big dollars for him. So Blake Snell is his guy. I'm sure Blake Snell will eventually sign. The bonus, as I'm saying, is I get Blake Snell for, you know, practically our league minimum for a good while here. So it's someone who's very advantageous for me to keep. So doing the math and increasing the numbers, I could literally keep, even with next year's increasing of like $3 per player, I can still keep a lot of my players for a couple years, which is kind of one of the goals in having a dynasty team, keeping as many of your players as you can, or at least your superstar few. And we'll be doing our draft on Saturday. Is it the 16th, the day before St. Patrick's Day? And we have a fictitious dollar amount of 260 units, dollars. Hey, since it's fantasy, I like to pretend it's $260 million, which is about a true salary cap for, you know, major league teams. I think the NFL just raised their cap up to 260. So, you know, since I'm playing around, it's not real money anyway. I pretend that these amounts are millions in my head because that's, you know, really more what the actual players are getting. But I have a pretty good core. Real quick, I've got Will Smith, a catcher. Petey Alonso of the Mets, he was a home run leader last year at first base. Jose Altuve, keeping him, still under $30. Last year I made a trade, which I traded away Manny Machado. And at first I didn't want to, but I realized I really paid a lot of money for Machado. He was kind of my highest priced player last year. And about a month into the season, I noticed that his numbers, you know, were not warranting the money I paid for him on the statistics he's getting in the actual fantasy game. You know, we do give points for home runs, hits, RBIs, stolen bases, all the offensive statistics, but we take away points for strikeouts, things like that. And a lot of power hitters strike out a lot. They don't necessarily make the best contact. So what I was paying for him was a little higher than what he was giving back. So I traded for another quality third baseman of the Cardinals, Nolan Arenado, who essentially comes to me $10 cheaper, keeping Jeremy Peña, shortstop of the Astros, Tampa Bay's infielder Isaac Paredes, someone I picked up off the waiver wire, so he's a $2 player this year, Baltimore's outfielder Anthony Santander, also a $2 player. I picked up Lane Thomas in a trade for one of my pitchers who, maybe I wish I still had that pitcher, Jose Berrios. I traded him to the guy that eventually did win the league championship, but I got a very good outfielder of the Washington Nationals in return, Lane Thomas. Off waivers, I picked up Pirates outfielder Jack Sawinski. Puts up good numbers. Expect him to be consistent again. As a backup catcher, I have Baltimore's William Contreras coming back to me for $2. The lone bright spot for the Oakland A's, he was a rookie last year, Estuary Ruiz, who had 67 stolen bases, was second in the league, only to Ronald Acuna Jr., who I think had 73. Ruiz had 67. I'm keeping him. Former Miami Marlin outfielder DH George Soler, who has recently signed with the Giants, and think the Giants are going to be better with Bob Melvin as their manager this year. I expect the Giants to slightly improve from last year, and Dodger multi-infielder, outfielder, utility guy Chris Taylor, who's a little older at 33, not ancient for baseball, but a guy, and again, I watch and listen to a ton of Dodger games because I do live in Los Angeles, and straight up the Dodgers broadcast and coverage is 100% professionals to the point where I almost can't listen to the Anaheim Angels because the quality of the presentation by the Dodgers is just so much better. And my microphone just censored me. It's like, hey, you said you were an Angels fan when you were first a kid. Now you're so you can't even bother listening to their games. So that's a little bit of karma. And in the pitching staff, we'll go through this quickly, keeping Blake Snell. Again, got him at a good price. And we have a minor league draft in this league, and last year Miami Marlin pitcher Yuri Perez, because I got two guys, Estuary Ruiz and then Yuri Perez. I get their names confused from time to time, but Yuri Perez had a pretty good rookie season. Had a pretty good rookie season for the Miami Marlins. Also on the same team, Braxton Garrett. Taj Bradley was a guy from Tampa Bay that I sort of had to bring up last year because I had a lot of injuries on the pitching staff. He and Perez came up from my minor league system. They're going to be $2 players this year. I did have a trade which got me super reliever Josh Hader, who is now a member of the Houston Astros. I think a team more consistent and think they're going to do better Then Hader's last team, the San Diego Padres. Edwin Diaz will be available this year. And then Tampa Bay setup guy, Colin Poche, who had some great numbers last year. I think my microphone is telling me it's time to take a break. As he keeps going in and out, we'll be right back.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
All right. Mic check. Are we working? Yes, we are. Sometimes, depending on the season and the humidity, microphones like to have a mind of their own. And happens occasionally. So apologize for the intermittent mic connection at the end of the last segment. Maybe I was just a little too excited, too much caffeine, and a little bit of overmodulation. But nonetheless, we're back for the time being. Got about another 20 minutes today on the Fantasy Sports Friday show. And as I said, about another 2 weeks until our auction draft. Basically, out of the $260 fictitious unit allotment for each team, out of 27 roster spots, I'm going into the season with, I think it's 21 roster spots filled. I need to get 6 players in the auction, and I got a good amount of money at $72, $74. My total is $184 for salaries kept for players for this upcoming season. So that's a pretty good amount, an average of a little more than $10 spent per player that I can get in the auction. Now again, other owners will be keeping majority of their best players at, you know, a price that they seem to afford. There's one owner who's looks like he's keeping a minimum amount of players at very high prices, but is going to have a lot of spots to fill. I'm not sure personally. I like to have more spots filled, even if it's for cheaper players. Like, for instance, my outfield, they're all $2 players. I had one guy that I let go, Cedric Mullins, pretty good player with Baltimore. I didn't feel that he was worth the $20 fictitious allotment that he would be due for this season, so, you know, he's someone I put back in. Javier Baez was a shortstop, again, I put back in. And, you know, a handful of pitchers that, you know, were kind of $1 players, and I might be able to reacquire some of them maybe for $1 as opposed to $2 this year, but I wanted to have a few open spots, see who's going to become available, and then in the next week or so really kind of target the players that I want to really focus on when they come up in auction. Now, this is, to me, a lot more fun because you're not exactly building the whole team, which, you know, last year, again, I think a lot of players in fantasy auction drafts will spend maybe more than they want to early to acquire some of the top talent and have to outbid other players. But the true value is being able to find value in the later rounds when a lot of money has been spent and you have to still fill your roster. And something through a season like last year where, you know, again, wait till next year, you know, I was able to kind of really focus on the waiver wire and try to keep acquiring talent throughout the season and knowing that those players will be coming in at a cheaper price. So it definitely helps to have experience, and sometimes you gain experience by failing and making mistakes, or, you know, looking back and seeing what you didn't do so well the season before. So anyway, looking forward to that draft coming up in a couple weeks, and a few days before that one, many of the same players are in the same league. The Dynasty League of Auction is, again, we had an expansion draft last couple weeks ago. Then we had our minor league draft, and that's where it's a little more challenging. I have to keep a list of minor league players that each owner has on their organization and avoid, you know, nominating them to be bid on during the auction, just to avoid confusion. Now, it's going to happen because, you know, each owner, and now we're up to 14, we have at least seven players on our minor league system. So that's another 100 potential young minor league players. And in these auction drafts, you're often looking for, you know, young talent that you can maybe stash till later and buy cheaply and, you know, have them for, you know, hopefully up to a good 4 or 5 years until you're, you know, paying double digit contracts against your, you know, total salary cap. You know, at some point, some of the higher paid players on my team, like Petey Alonso, he's the highest paid guy right now at $34. Next year, $37. Year after that, he'll be $42. And then $47 in 3 seasons from now, he's probably not going to be on my team at a price that high. So it would behoove me to find a backup first baseman at some point during this draft to have easily to slide in a couple seasons at a cheaper price and, you know, put Petey Alonso back into the pool. I might be able to re-sign him possibly for less, or, you know, if someone else goes ahead, you know, that's fine. He'll also be a couple years older, you know, at that time. So that's something that you kind of got to keep track of and be cognizant of for the future if you want to, you know, kind of keep a team. A lot of guys, I think, do very well in the first season. Maybe they get the best crop of players, end up winning. But when it's time to add the numbers up, that's where it can get a little interesting and a little tricky. You know, one player, I did mention Manny Machado, the guy I traded him to last year. You know, again, he's going to be like a $35 player this year, and the owner I ended up trading him to is not keeping him. So that's an example of someone I might be willing to try to re-sign again in auction. Again, I have a third baseman, the person I traded him for, Nolan Arenado, and I'm keeping him this year. Although having a backup and the position corner infield is a position you need in your starting lineup. So to have a backup first baseman or third baseman is pretty essential. And of course, there's games, days where one team may or may not play. That's another situation that I'm going to be focusing on another middle infielder or a definite second baseman shortstop due to the fact that I have Jose Altuve and shortstop Jeremy Peña both on the Houston Astros. So if there's a game, a day in the week where the Houston Astros do not play, that's two starting players that will not be in my lineup because obviously they're off that day. So need to get a backup at those positions. Kind of why I kept Chris Taylor of the Dodgers, because he definitely could be a backup on those two positions. There's one guy in my minor league system who may or may not get the starting job in St. Louis, and his name is Mason Wynn, and he spells it different instead of like how the Freemasons, M-A-S-O-N, spell their name. It's M-A-Y-S-O-N or M-A-Y-S-I-N. And then his last name is not as Wynn. It has a W-Y. So, but Mason Wynn, he was called up by the Cardinals last year. Great defensive player. Struggled at the plate. He was hitting under 200. So I'm thinking, you know, I have him and Gavin Stone of the LA Dodgers, who were both on my minor league team last year, minor league draft, and I didn't call them up, even though they were called up by their major league team. Now, we have a particular rule that if a player is called up by me as the owner in our fantasy world, then they're an official major league player, and if I decide to release them, I can't send them back to the minor leagues. They get released and become a free agent, so you take the opportunity of, you know, someone stealing a player that maybe hasn't reached their potential yet. A lot of times young players, they get called up and down a couple times until they stick with the big league. So I'm really following the St. Louis Cardinals situation. Because if Mason Wynn does good and he wins the starting shortstop job, he's probably going to stay up for the year for the Cardinals. Now, I kind of want to wait and see, maybe a month or 6 weeks, 2 months even, into the season with him and Gavin Stone to see, you know, if they are called up, if they do stay up with the major team and don't get sent back down. Like last year, as I mentioned, Taj Bradley of the Tampa Bay Rays was called up early, and since I had no other options, I decided to, you know, go ahead and call him up to my major league team, and he went back and down about two or three times. You know, he played a lot during the season, but was sent down a couple times, and it wasn't because of his ineffectiveness, really. It had to do with Tampa Bay's pitching staff having a couple injuries. They needed a starter for a little bit. He did okay. He gets a lot of strikeouts, but still gave up a few runs. As a young pitcher, he's going to learn, and that's why they sent him back down to his minor league club to give him experience, again, playing against minor league players, and just to get more experience as a young player. So that is a possibility that might happen to shortstop Mason Wynn. I kind of think the Cardinals are going to keep him, but then the development of San Francisco Giants veteran Brandon Crawford, who the Giants did not re-sign. He's been with the team for, I think, 14 years. Grew up in the Bay Area as a lifelong Giant. Grew up as a Giants fan as a kid. He, again, the team, the Giants did not retain him. And the Cardinals offered him a one-year deal with their team. They're probably hedging their bets that in case Mason Wynn isn't quite ready, at least at the plate, you know, and they do keep him or shuttle him back between the minors and the major league team, you know, Brandon Crawford might be playing instead. So kind of going to take a wait-and-see attitude with Mason Wynn. I can obviously call him up any time later. I might try to draft Brandon Crawford or sign him, and since he was kind of a free agent last year, there's a good chance I can get him in the auction for a fairly cheap price. And for me, that would not be the worst deal to, you know, maybe pick him up if he's... So that's the situation I got to monitor, the St. Louis situation. And then, of course, Gavin Stone with the Dodgers. The Dodgers seem to always have great pitching, but the last number of years, they've had a lot of great pitchers who seem to get injured and have gone through the Tommy John surgery. One of my favorite Dodger players who I picked up years ago, Walker Buehler. I picked him up for a, you know, free agent cost, was able to keep him in the keeper league as a 24th round pick since I picked him up off waivers, and he turned out to be the Dodgers, you know, number one pitcher. In fact, they started him in the playoffs a couple times over Clayton Kershaw, who has had an illustrious career, maybe a Hall of Fame career. But if you follow Clayton Kershaw, well, when he gets to the playoffs, he doesn't do so well. Don't know what it is. Either the other teams do a great job scouting against him and know his tendencies very well, or maybe something mental. He just puts too much pressure on himself, and it just doesn't work out. Now, one of those incidents with Clayton Kershaw, he didn't know at the time, and none of us knew, but we now know. That was the trash can banging incident of Jose Altuve and the Houston Astros, where, you know, they clobbered him in Game 7 to win that World Series, and I think it was 2017, a couple years ago. So Clayton Kershaw is back with the Dodgers. I think Walker Buehler will be back this year. He's been out for about a year and a half. He developed arm problems, then he had Tommy John surgery, and when you get that, you're pretty much gone for the year. I've had other Dodger pitchers like Tony Gonsolin, who had a great win-loss record, someone I picked up in a trade, was able to keep last year at an inexpensive draft position, and then he blew out his arm, and he's dealing with, I believe, Tommy John surgery. So hopefully Gavin Stone will be healthy and at some point will be a productive, solid pitcher for the Dodgers, and I can call him up for the cheap minor league $1 minimum. So between him and Mason Winn, that's a couple maybes and certain situations that I'm monitoring in the offseason. The Dodgers in the offseason, I mentioned they signed Shohei Ohtani. He is certainly no secret. He's the biggest name maybe in sports right now. I know during football, it's hard to consider anyone outside of football being the biggest name in sports. You know, what Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are doing what they do, winning Super Bowls and dating super pop stars. But it's a definite possibility that he is the biggest name, but not pitching. The Dodgers also signed a foreign player, I believe Japanese, Yoshida Yamamoto. Not sure about the first name, but I've practiced the last name because it just rolls off the tongue once you learn it. Yamamoto. I'd love to be the Dodgers announcer and throw out the Yamamoto. He's coming over from, again, foreign league and is going to be someone I might spend a lot of my free agent capital on because I'm targeting a couple pitchers. I need at least two starting pitchers out of the positions I have open, probably one relief pitcher, a middle infielder, a corner infielder, and probably the person that has the most power hitting ability after that. So, again, that draft will be coming up in a couple weeks. And I have to do a little research on the players that will be available. Again, I've thrown out a couple names of players that I'm going to wait and target. Two high-priced players, Yamamoto, possibly Manny Machado. I wouldn't mind having Machado for one season. And there's a couple other decent players. One guy in particular, also a Dodger named Gavin Lux, who was going to be their starting shortstop last year. He blew out his knee in spring training early last year, running the bases between second and third base. He extended a little far, hyperextended, and tore some knee ligaments, so he was out for the season, and his owner has decided not to retain him for this upcoming season. So as you look through the folks who will be available, that's kind of how you figure out who you're going to target and sort of slot the money and who I'm going to go for. It's a little, again, for me, this is going to be a much different draft. I have a pretty good base team built, and we'll be looking to fill in with the players that are available and kind of get a list and then, again, try to keep away and make a list of players who are on minor league rosters with other teams and make sure that we don't bring their name up in the auction because even if I end up getting them in the auction, we'll have to basically rescind that. And, the less hassle, the better. So we're just about out of time today on Fantasy Sports Friday. If you enjoy the show, let me know. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, even on TikTok. I got a lot of shows. I haven't put up a specific page for the Fantasy Sports Friday show. For my radio page, you can always find Backbeat Radio Show either on Facebook or Instagram. I've got band pages for my band and then personal pages. You can find me at J.Cruz Media on through yahoo.com and do a search and find me there. Or just send me an email, jcruzmedia@yahoo.com. If you're listening on the podcast on demand page here at healthylife.net, you should be able to find a link on the bottom of that page to contact me. Let me know what you think about the show. By the way, check the podcast on-demand link because that'll have the topics I'll be focusing on in the month of March. And this is the month to really contact me. Building up a team and starting a new team or going into a draft or an auction. If you have a question on some players or an opinion on maybe player A or B, whatever your situation might happen to be, Give me a note, and I'll try to help you out, try to help you win your league this year. We also got basketball season playoffs are right around the corner, so we'll be incorporating a little bit of that in the next couple shows as well. But it's time to wrap up. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Friday right here, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, also replayed on Saturdays at 9 Pacific, 12 noon, and on demand. Until next Friday, Jay Cruz signing off. Have a great weekend.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at SeizeTheAwkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.